Kirk, what's going on, man?
Oh, not much. Very excited.
Very excited for part two of our auction draft strategy.
Oh, I thought we were going to talk about flowers.
No.
Okay. That'll be the next one. We'll do that. This one we'll do the draft strategies. Okay, that sounds good.
All right, you ready to talk some fancy football, man?
Yes, I am.
All right, good. Good. Hey, this is our second episode of the auction draft strategy. Today, as promised, we are going to talk about how Kirk and I set a budget for an upcoming auction draft. Now, this is the prep we do prior to the draft, and it's paid off well for us in the last 5 years. Kirk, anything you want to add before we get into the breaking news?
Stick to the budget. That's all I got to say.
So Kirk, do you want to talk about the breaking news?
No, you go. You must have read a little more. I thought he actually was suspended, but you go ahead and
I haven't seen anything yet, but what Kirk's referring to is Jameis Winston, starting quarterback for the Buccaneers, looking like he's going to receive a 3-game suspension for off the field stuff from an Uber ride in 2016. 3-game suspension. What does that mean to you, Kirk, as far as fantasy wise?
Well, that puts a damper on Mike Evans' stock, or it could be a good thing because Ryan Fitzpatrick may like him and may key on him and just chuck the ball to him. I really don't know if this is going to be positive or negative, actually.
Yeah, it didn't work out well last year when Fitzpatrick was in for Mike Evans. Evans, with the inconsistency there at quarterback, he ended up, I think, as a wide receiver number 20 in points per game for PPR leagues. But I'll tell you what this means for me is that Jameis Winston, who I do not view him in the same light as a lot of other fantasy experts. I think he is a mid-level or even – high quarterback number two. I don't think he's a potential quarterback number one, but he's undraftable. I think, you know, the bigger thing though is if you have him in dynasty or keeper leagues, is I think Tampa Bay has to seriously question whether he is their guy for the future and if they're going to keep him for that fifth year option, which just something to keep your eye on. But the Mike Evans thing, Kirk, that's also true, and they do have, I think, 3 tough matchups in those first 3 games to where Winston's going to miss. So,
the only thing I'm going to say on him is I don't think they're going to give up on him. They seem to be very, very high on him in Tampa Bay and they like the way he works and stuff. But yeah, for some reason, I can't imagine them trying to start over with anybody else.
Wow.
Something really easy and really perfect comes around.
I mean, that's a good point. They do have a new general manager, and if they do bad this season, Dirk Cutter could be out the door, and, you know, new regime just may not want to put up with that. But, that is tough to pass up on a guy who you think may be a potential franchise quarterback. Just ask the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah.
They don't come around that often, so.
Hey, all quarterbacks become ground chuck. We get them in, we ground them up, and spit them out, and they fail everywhere else.
Yeah, it's not like they've only failed for Cleveland.
So. Yeah. I suck everywhere.
All right, man. So, hey, our last episode, we talked about auction drafts and kind of how they flow, what to expect during the actual drafts. The one thing we, Kirk, you and I were shocked about when we entered these leagues is how little preparation other players do when going into the draft. I think what we see is other owners kind of, they like fantasy players. There's certain players and they say, hey, I would really like to get this certain specific player, or I'm big on this guy this year. And then they just go into the draft and just kind of wing it. And they bid hard after guys they like, and they don't bid after guys they don't like. And that's really about as much thought as they put into it.
Yeah, I think the magazine subscription to fantasy football magazines goes through the roof around this time, and I feel that there are enough, or there are a number of players in our league that That's their motto is, okay, I'm going to get this magazine. It's going to tell me all I need to know. I'm going to read all the articles and they're going to tell me who's good. Well, we kind of did a, we know who we like, but let's look at the numbers. Let's look at the data. Let's see what we can, you know, come up with organically on our own. And then we can kind of compare what the experts are saying to kind of fill in the gaps, because, you know, there, we did all the work up front and they said, well, I'm going to have this expert guy tell me what second, third tier running back I should pick up. And then they end up bidding way too much on them and looking silly.
Yep. So really, Kirk, the way you and I have always attacked these drafts is we always start our budget by looking let me set the stage first. This is, so we're going to do this budget as if we're in, it's called the PCS auction league. It's the first auction league that we were in. It's a 12 team standard league. And the roster is as such. It's kind of old school. It's quarterback, two running backs, three receivers, and a tight end. There is a kicker and defense, but they're not incorporated into the auction draft. So there's no flex position.
And not also, the budget. They're not part of the budget.
They're not part of the budget, yeah. Also, the bench is set as well to where you have to have one quarterback, two running backs, two receivers, and a tight end on your bench.
This is a locked roster for the entire season. So
yes.
And how this is a, this affects the rest of the season is when you are trading with another team, you absolutely have to have the same positions traded.
Go ahead. No, I was going to say, I think we'll talk more about that in the show me on the doll where the commissioner touched you or violated you episode. and dumbest commissioner rules ever. So
right, but yeah, but there. Bottom line is it's a locked roster throughout the season. So when you're drafting, you have to draft two quarterbacks, whether you want to or not. You have to draft right. four running backs. So that's kind of when we are creating this budget. That's probably the only thing mm-hmm. that made it simpler is we were able to then just dole money out to these positions, knowing we had to have them.
Yeah,
but that's probably the only thing that made it easier for us initially. But still, we think it's poppycock.
So, whenever we kind of attack these drafts, Kirk, you and I have always looked at what we call kind of the core four positions, and that's your two running backs and your top two receivers.
Right.
And that's where the biggest, I think, consideration goes into how much we're allocating for those positions.
Right.
Stereotypical draft for Kirk and I, and again, we are co-managers for this team, is we go running back heavy. Typically, we have had certain years to where we say we're going to spend more than $50 on both our running backs. Mm-hmm. But, NFL is changing, so we have altered that in certain years to where, hey, we're willing to spend $45 or above on a receiver. But what we're going to do today is just go over, this is a, and typically, Kirk, what you and I do is we'll set two or three budgets and just kind of bounce around
right
which one we like the best, and then we choose one and go into the draft with that. So I'm going to take an example budget here and we're going to talk through the thought process. This isn't the one that you and I are going to employ for our draft this year. We haven't even talked about it yet, but I thought this was something that we would do. And then actually, after going through the process, seems like it would actually do well for us. But
right.
Just want to talk about the budget, what you can expect, what players you could expect to get for this amount of money. So you ready to do it?
I am. And again, this is going to be based on last year's performance, correct? The type of player that you're looking to get.
No. So what we're going to do is, I'll explain it once we get into it. So,
okay.
First of all, looking at running backs, this is taken into account a $200 budget. Kirk, we typically like to, for our running back number one, we typically like to go hard after the stud running back. So we're going to allocate $60 for our running back number one in this example of a budget. And think about auction drafts, and I mentioned it last episode. In a snake draft, if you're the number if you're stuck with the number 11 pick, you have zero chance of getting one of the top tier running backs. Whereas in an auction draft, everybody has equal opportunity. But I'll tell you, we're willing to spend $60 or above, which maybe only two or three other teams are willing to do. So we are almost guaranteeing that we are going to get a top tier running back when we allocate this much money.
Right. And it really depends on the entire class of running backs. How much, cause if there was more parity in the top 5 to 10 running backs, we mm-hmm. probably wouldn't be doing this, but because there is a drop off, in the quality, we know that this is absolutely necessary for us to have.
Yeah. So something else we do, and we'll really only do it for a running back one and receiver one, is so Kirk and I will say, hey, we're willing to spend $60 on a running back. And then we go through the running backs and say, all right, who's in the $60 club? Who can we expect to get, or who would we want to spend that much on?
Right.
And really, Kirk, I mean, I think this year, I think there's the big four.
Yeah.
I think it's Bell, Gurley, Zeke, and David Johnson. What do you think?
Yeah, that's exactly it. And there's a fictitious line that I drew in my list of players, and that's where it is.
So, yeah, I mean, other people may feel great about Kamara or even Saquon Barkley, Melvin Gordon, and I don't disagree with those players. I'd love to have them on my team. It's just I'm not spending six. I think the top four are a cut above those guys.
Yes, I agree. Totally.
All right, so if you're listening at home, if you got a pen and paper, you can kind of keep along and just listen to the method of our madness here. So in the PCS league last year, only two players went for over $60. That was it was Le'Veon Bell and David Johnson. So what I'm going to do in predicting who we might be able to get this year is if assuming that only two players go above $60 this year, we would, you know, we're assuming that we would get the third player then. So the third player at that position. So if we're willing to spend $60, we could expect to get Ezekiel Elliott as the third best running back. So that's a pretty good start to our team. I would be happy with that.
Yes.
Okay. So wide receiver number one, I have as our second highest budgeted player. And I have that at $45. Now, going back to last year, seven wide receivers went for over $45, which is kind of a lot for that league typically, right?
Yeah, I mean, but people do, you know, some people buy into the receiving aspect of fantasy football more than the running back, and that's just where their attention goes, and people seem to follow suit with that. So it fits in well for us.
Yeah, and the big thing to remember is this is a standard league, so if there's certain guys like, you know, Jarvis Landry or, you know, Cooper Kupp, you may not want to be as high on them in this league. But Kirk, if assuming that seven players go for over $45 and assuming that at that budget we would get the eighth best receiver, currently in average draft position, that would mean we're getting Keenan Allen as our wide receiver number one.
Wow.
How do you feel about that?
Can we just start with this team right away?
Yeah. So, and I think this is important because, well, actually, let me keep going and then you'll see why this strategy is so important. So we go heavy after running back number one and heavy after wide receiver number one.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what we've also done is for our running back number two and wide receiver number two, we've allocated $30 a piece for each of those positions. So mm-hmm. looking at last year in the PCS league, there were 13 running backs, who went for over $30. So assuming that 13 players this year would go over $30, mm-hmm. the player who's going at the 14th position, average draft position for running backs, is Jerick McKinnon. So he would be our number two running back. You know, the players right around him are also Christian McCaffrey or Joe Mixon. LaShawn McCoy, those type of players. So, again, this is a 12-team league. That's a great running back number two, I think.
Yeah, especially based on what we expect him to do and, you know, just the way they utilize the running back. Again, Carlos Hyde last year in that system was a pretty good running back, even though they stunk.
Yeah, he was a top 10 running back.
Yeah.
All right, and then finally, so getting to the end of our core players here, our wide receiver number two, who we also thought, or who we also budgeted $30 for, and last year, nine players in this league went wide receivers went for over $30. So assuming we would get the 10th best receiver, that would be Doug Baldwin. As of right now, so standard leagues love Doug Baldwin, touchdown guy.
Yeah.
So, and here is why we do this, and here's why we go so hard after those core four players. So right now, again, running backs, we're talking Ezekiel Elliott and Jerick McKinnon, wide receivers Keenan Allen and Doug Baldwin. Again, this is a 12-team league, so right now in drafts, Zeke is going at the 103. Jerick McKinnon, hold on here. Let's see what is he going at. So he's definitely going in the second round. I want to say maybe around the 210 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Jerick McKinnon, 209. Okay, so he's going at the 209. Now we go over to our receivers. And this is, again, this is going to so important to do this budget. If we go to our receivers, Keenan Allen is going, he is also, okay, so he's the same average as McKinnon. He's going at the 209 as well. And then Doug Baldwin is going at the 304.
What do you mean by 304 and 209? Is that second round, ninth position? Or okay.
Correct. So Doug Baldwin going in the third round, fourth pick. All right, So, and here's why this is important. We have four players, all of which, the latest of which is going as the fourth pick in the third round. So we have a high first round pick, two second round picks, and then a high third round pick. So that is why we are so aggressive, is we are basically just front loading this team. We're very top heavy. And you've got four, top players, top echelon players who are not only in the third round or above, but all of them are considered running back number ones or wide receiver number ones for the
entire. All right, now here's a question. So, now, why don't we worry about the tight end? Because the tight end is a receiver and their yards and TDs. Why don't we value the tight end as highly as the wide receiver? Like maybe instead of doing wide receiver two for $30. Why don't we do tight end number one for $30?
Okay, and here's exactly. I'll move to tight end next. So remember, we still have three starting positions we haven't talked about: quarterback, wide receiver number three, and.
Boy, Ernie, let me add something else too. The reason why I like this going into the budget or going into the draft is it felt relaxing to know that you allotted a certain amount of money for your first, so your top player is going to be a running back one in our thing. It was easy going after who we thought was the number one. It was, or one of those three guys. It felt good because you already had it already sectioned off. You already know what the rest of the draft is going to look like. And then you know that if you want to go up $3 or $4 to get the guy you want, you know the other one is just going to take a little bit of a hit. But you felt good knowing that you had this, you were prepared for this amount of money. And that allows the rest of the draft to be adjusted appropriately. So if we were to go $5 more, we would just take away from another position.
Right. And what Kirk's saying there is like, so $45 for our wide receiver number one, assuming that seven players go above that and we get Keenan Allen. Keenan Allen may go for $41. He may not go for $45. So I'll take that $4, and maybe we add that on our
anything that whatever it just allows the rest of the draft to be adjusted appropriately.
Right. And we're very good about, we probably stay within $3 to $5 of every of our right. budget. You know. So okay. All right.
Okay, keep going.
So the funny thing is you said why do we not put as much stock into our tight end as our wide receiver, for example? Well, this is where it gets kind of crazy. So for our wide receiver number one, we budgeted $45 and expect to get maybe the eighth best right. receiver. Well, for tight end, we budget $8. Take a guess how many tight ends went for over $8 last year.
Six.
So we would actually get the seventh best tight end. So even though we're spending $37 less on our tight end, we are still, by the rankings, getting a higher ranked tight end than a wide receiver right. number one. So now, if we look at who's the seventh best tight end going in average drafts right now, that's Kyle Rudolph, which that doesn't – I mean, he's fine. He's a fine player. But the thing is, if you don't like Kyle Rudolph and you like some of the guys below him, like Trey Burton or Jordan Reed or Delanie Walker, well, then you just choose not to pick Kyle Rudolph and you budget for those guys. I mean, that's – you have the flexibility right. to do that. And we're still not assuming that those guys who are below him are going to go for more than $8.
Now, I remember now things have changed, but we always looked at just, you know, the clump of players and where the drop-offs are. And I know in running backs, it's sometimes pretty easy to tell. And same thing with tight ends and wide receivers. You just look at the yards, their end-of-the-year stats, your yards and your touchdowns. And, you know, there are people that just kind of blend in, and maybe it doesn't tell the story week to week, and you have to do a little more digging. But a lot of times you'll just see there's a big group of guys that are about the same. And so if you can just be in that window of players with your budget, it really doesn't matter which one you get if you're not going right. after Rob Gronkowski or Kelsey.
Right, yeah, if there's those – you know, maybe I guess third tier of tight ends is really who we're hoping right. to get with budgeting that much.
And that's a lot of money sometimes for that tight end paying $8 right. and what we've done in the past, just because the way the draft has gone, we end up allocating money somewhere else.
Again, last year we spent on our two tight end positions, we spent a total of $3. Now, granted, we got Jack Doyle and Kobe Fleener, but Jack Doyle ended up being a top 10 right. tight end. So, again, it validates our right. thought process going
right.
into this.
That's where we're willing to take a little bit of a risk, spend less money, and hope to get value out of it.
Yep. Okay. So, again, looking good. All right. So, you ready to jump up to quarterback?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
All right, so quarterback, we take kind of the same thought process as we do tight end. So for this example budget, let's say we're going to spend $8 on a quarterback. Kirk, if I had to ask you last year, how many quarterbacks went for over $8 in that league?
Oh, in that league, probably 10 or more.
You're right on the hit the nail right on the head. It was 10 quarterbacks went for over $8. And all I think that is even though this is a 4-point passing touchdown league, I think guys just think, oh, quarterbacks are important, you know, so therefore they must be important for fantasy. So again, let's go through the thought process here. So if we look at the 11th quarterback right now in average draft position, we are looking at Matt Ryan, which, you know, 2 years ago was the number two overall quarterback. But let's say, for example, I don't like Matt Ryan. Here are the four quarterbacks going after Matt Ryan: Andrew Luck, Matthew Stafford, Ben Roethlisberger, and Philip Rivers. If we got one out of those five, I would be completely happy. You know, assuming Andrew Luck's healthy. Kirk, last year we got Matthew Stafford for $6. Because we were patient, and I mean, it just See,
the big thing with quarterbacks that for us it was okay. You know, you look at their the top tier that are out of our price range, and you look at what separates even them from the second tiers. I remember seeing sometimes it was like 3 or 4 points a game, and that was kind of it. And I thought, well, why would we spend all that money on them to where there's a greater drop off in another position? And then that way we have to get the best ones. So the other thing was, you have 4 points for touchdown and -2 for an interception, right? Or a turnover. So, so a 3-touchdown, 2-interception game for 450 yards may look good, but I mean, really it ends up hurting themselves. So I don't value the quarterback as much. You don't value the quarterback as much. We seem to still get a high value guy for a little money, and one else is caught.
Right. So here's what I want to point out. Last year, Aaron Rodgers, I think we talked about last episode, went for $32 or $33. Yeah. We got Matthew Stafford for $6. Aaron Rodgers last year, again, he was hurt, so you got to take that into account. He averaged 18.5 points per game. Matthew Stafford averaged 17.1, so that is a difference of 1.4 points a game that we got at that position. Now, Russell Wilson, who was the, you know, him and Carson Wentz did the best as far as players who were drafted. Nobody drafted Deshaun Watson. So Russell Wilson, Carson Wentz were 21.7 points. So again, you're talking a difference there of 4 points between Russell Wilson, who went for the high 20s, to Matthew Stafford, who went for six. And we made that up.
That's where we said, like, we could use that money somewhere else so much better.
Yep. Okay. So, hey, the last starting position to talk about is our wide receiver number 3. And we allocated $5 for that. So typically, let's say if we saved a couple bucks, we would probably add it on to that wide receiver number 3. Because the difference between $5 and $9 is really pretty big once you're getting into that level of player. Last year, Kirk, we got Adam Thielen for $7 in our draft. So that is what we are hoping to do, is find one of those lower level guys, a guy that we think has the potential to be a steal and fly under the radar and steal him from everybody else. Now, the important thing is, and you'll see this once you're in your draft, is value depends on when a player is nominated. So a lot of times there may be higher tier guys who just for some reason have not been nominated, and they make it until late in the draft when everybody has spent all their money and you can steal them for cheap.
Yeah. So, well, and here's the other thing is, as I'm looking at this, what we've allocated was $14 for the bench. So that's $14 for 6 positions. That's, you know, it's $2 a position, and, you know, with one being a little bit more. So in this position, if we've drafted, let's just say miraculously, this is the order of which we've drafted, and we got all those players, and we're still filling out our starting roster. If there is somebody like Adam Thielen for $2 more, we're going to then say, forget the bench. We want a better starting lineup, and we can worry about the bench later.
Right.
And steal money away.
So the type of players that I think, you know, I'm going to throw some names out there, and I don't know if these guys would fire you up or not, but you know, the one guy we kind of talked about, Kirk, is Alan Hurns.
Yeah.
A guy who right now is the number one clear on his team. Clear cut. He's going right now as the 39th overall receiver in drafts. Another guy, Randall Cobb, who could be the number 2 guy on an Aaron Rodgers led Green Bay team.
They fire me up, actually.
Another guy, you know, Julian Edelman, maybe he slips because of the suspension. Yeah. And we just try and suck it up. Pierre Garçon is going as a 37th. Robbie Anderson at 43. Those guys, I think you can get one of them for $40 or for $5, and a guy who's right around the 35 to 45th, you know, receiver going right now. And you just hope you strike gold. And you also try and fill your bench with guys who you think may have a high upside, you know, maybe willing to break right. out. D.D. Westbrook or somebody like that who you think DeSean Jackson, a guy that, you know, maybe get him for a buck or two. Maybe, you know, people are saying he's lost it and you just take a chance. That's who you fill your bench
with. Yeah, now we, so. With our aggressive attitude towards our starting roster, especially, we go into the draft saying, listen, we do all the work for the draft. We get our good starters and our bench is purely there for just bye weeks and fill in roles and emergency like injury type situations. We're really trying to strike gold at that point by just getting lucky with really cheap players. But you know, last year it bit us in the butt because not our second or third best player, but our number one target got blasted and was done in David Johnson. So we were really struggling to piece it together throughout the year. But it's worth the risk because if he's healthy, our roster went from just barely missing the playoffs to being a favorite in the playoffs. So that's totally worth it. And you know, and if we're going to do the same thing this year, we're going to go after somebody, either wide receiver or running back, who has not had the injury bug, and we're going to assume that they're going to play the whole year, and we're going to take a chance, and it's worth it. And then if they get injured, we are more than willing to play the game throughout the year. It actually made it a really fun season last year, trying to find a running back to fill in every week. It ended up being good for us, almost getting to the playoffs with having our number one guy out because we did all that work to get to find somebody else. So,
right, yeah. I mean, you look at our bench last year. You know, we had Eddie Lacy on our bench, which you know, going to a new team. I mean, he ended up being
right.
awful. But the thought process was, is look, if they strike gold in this move, if he's got 1 year left in him, he's the clear cut right. starter there. We had Jeremy Maclin, same scenario. He was $2, goes to the Baltimore Ravens as their number right. one receiver. You know, again, didn't work out, but those are the kind of guys we're going to take a leap on. You know, Alan Hearns is kind of the Jeremy Maclin yeah. this year. So, you know, That's kind of our thought process. Again, you know, we are front loading our team. It's opposite of a snake draft, to where in a snake draft you're building depth on your bench
right.
on those key positions, running back and receiver. This we are going full board because again, you can get four players in the top three or top two rounds if you're very aggressive, and that will set you apart. You know. Pending those players staying healthy.
Yeah,
so,
yeah. The idea behind this is we don't want to have to keep mixing and matching our starting rosters. We want our – I think in our best years, we very rarely rotated out anybody other than bye weeks and, like, the tight end or the quarterback. The right. rest of it, it just was locked and loaded for the entire year.
So, again, so keeping with that mm-hmm. budget – I'll
with
wrap
five,
it up here.
Five
so
bucks for the wide receiver three, right?
Yeah, and I'll just throw Alan Hearns as a name in there because I think he's somebody we could get for that much. Here would be our starting roster. Quarterback, Matt Ryan, where we budgeted $8 for the quarterback. Running back number one, $60. We would get Zeke. Number two, $30. Get somebody like a Jerick McKinnon. Wide receivers for the $45, Keenan Allen, $30, Doug Baldwin. Wide receiver number three at $5, Alan Hearns. And then tight end, somebody like a Kyle Rudolph. So in that team, standard league, a 12-team league, I think that team is definitely a playoff team and definitely going to compete.
Yeah.
All of those guys are productive, you know, with the big wild card just being that third receiver there, which, look, if you miss on that pick, that is not going to sink your team. That's why there's going to be receivers who are undrafted that you can pick up on the waiver wire that will, you know, that'll be all right for you.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. This is a solid team that you would feel good about, especially with a locked roster, your 12 teams. I mean, it's no flex position too. So, I mean, I think if your weakest spot's Kyle Rudolph at tight end, well, you can find another tight end to do 8 or 10 points a week. That's not that hard.
Yep. All right, man. Well, good. Hey, anything else you want to add as far as setting a budget? I think we hit the big things. You know, don't be afraid to come off it a couple bucks, mm-hmm. but just try to be as disciplined as possible. Anything else?
Yeah, it's a living organism. Once that first pick comes off, you automatically either add or subtract from another position, and that's kind of the only. I mean, you'll know your priorities if you feel the quarterback is more important. And you get you somehow gain money, then you can get a better quarterback if that's your game plan or wide receiver. But yeah, our philosophy is load up the starters and hope for the best on the bench.
All right, man. Well, hey, good episode.
I loved it.
I think this will help people a lot.
Yeah, especially Matt who's listening.
He may do his first auction.
I know. Good luck to him. I hope if he needs advice, you know, he should be able to pose a question on our Facebook page.
Yeah, Fancy Football Facebook page.
Yeah.
If you ask a question on there, we will put it on the show. I guarantee. All right, dude. Hey, that's all for the Fancy Boys. We are signing off.
Yeah.
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.